Blog Talk Radio.
For the moment, but for generations to come.
There's a brother whose mindset was on generational wealth. And I have to ask, and someone help me, because maybe I'm not getting it right. What is excellence? What constitutes black excellence? Is it a college degree or many college degrees? Is it the material things that we love so much, the lavish living, I mean, the lifestyle? Does that constitute black excellence? The root word of the word excellence is to excel. What is our motivation as black men and women to excel? And what fuels that motivation? I got to say, I'm taken back. I don't know the man. I just knew what he was doing in the streets. I knew what he was doing from a business perspective. And I'm tired. How many more of these brothers, of our excellent brothers, young or old, do we have to lose? So with that being said, I think I'm going to change the title right now, and I'm going to call it Protecting Black Excellence. Let's talk about protecting black excellence. What do we do? And where do we begin with protecting our brothers and sisters who are out there on the front line trying to make a difference for the people in their respective communities, building businesses and creating employment, creating jobs for those who are otherwise wouldn't have them? What about how do we protect the brothers and sisters who are not relying on the system for handouts? We are the only people who get condemned for loving and taking pride in ourselves. How do we protect ourselves and each other from those who have a problem with that? We keep giving rapists and murderers the benefit of the doubt while we continually distrust each other. When are we finally going to wake up and realize that, as Dr. Clark said, we have no friends? We have everything we need to excel except each other. Now, I don't know what went down. I'm not going to try to guess because I don't know. What I do know is how I feel right now. And how I feel right now as a father. This man, I'm old enough to be that man's father. And so I'm always practicing empathy, and how would I feel if that was my son? And in a sense, he was. And he was your son's too. He was your brother as well. He was your homeboy too. You didn't have to know him. What he stood for was excellence. And now he's gone, snatched from us. Sometimes I don't know from day to day what I'm going to do, if I'm going to keep doing it. But then resilience kicks in and says, Craig, you can't quit. You can't quit and you can't give up. I know it's hard, and it is. I know certain conversations make certain other people uncomfortable, but these are the conversations we need to have. So again, protecting black excellence, what do we do to do that? When you see a brother out there on his grind trying to make a difference, when you see a sister out there on her grind trying to make a difference, and you have people who don't want to see us rise plot against us to take us away, They plotted against Malcolm X, and he's gone from us. They plotted against Dr. King, and he's gone from us. They plotted against Medgar Evers, and he's gone from us. They plotted against Stephen Biko and Patrice Lumumba, and he is gone from us. And countless many others who they plotted against to take them away from us because they don't want to see a black ascension. They don't want to see black excellence. And in so doing, some of us just go along to get along, and we fall by the wayside, and we start to show our cowardice, and we start to neglect what's really going on and come up with excuses to keep from getting involved. What are we going to do to protect black excellence? What are we going to do? How many more Nia Longs do we have, Nia Wilsons do we have to lose? How many more Tamir Rice do we have to lose? As I said, in a dark time, the eye begins to see. How many more do we have to lose before we get 2020 vision into what's going on around us and begin to act accordingly to protect black excellence and do away with black negligence? What do we have to do, people? I'm just one man with a perspective. It seems to me, and I'm not railing against anyone. I'm merely speaking how I feel, because how I feel is real. And I hope you're feeling what I'm saying. So it seems to me that it's like ignorance and mediocrity are the twin aphrodisiacs that we glorify. And it's not until someone such as a Nipsey Hussle is taken away from us that some of us stick our head, pull our heads up out of the sand and start asking questions. Where the hell were you yesterday? Aren't you tired? And if you're not, why? Are you not angry? And if you're not, why? We are at war. And I didn't mean to start out like this. It just kind of came out this way. Because it's how I feel, and how I feel is genuine. I feel for that man's family. For the people that he helped, for the people that relied on him. Oh, I think we spend too much time talking about things of an insignificant nature. I think we spend too much time wasting energy on conversations that depreciate. I think the power of our words are losing power because we have no substance when it comes to things that matter. You cannot produce revolutionaries without a revolutionary culture. And in order to have that revolutionary culture, we have to protect the excellence of the culture. We have to get around to eradicating the neglect of critical thinking. It seems that it's always those who uphold the culture, those with righteousness, those with visible righteous and visibly righteous lifestyles who get punished for it. And then we're left to pick up the pieces. We. It's a powerful word if you stop to think about it. We. It's pluralistic. We can do great things if we would but come together and organize. We are the greatest people in the world. We cannot be stopped when we come together and put our minds to the agenda of a black ascension. But some of us aren't ready for that. Some of us are too preoccupied with bullshit. Some of us prefer ceremony over substance. Some of us are comfortable in conflict and controversy. Well, I say, when we're talking about evil at work, evil doesn't take a day off. Evil is much more dangerous when it dons the cloak of familiarity, because then evil is allowed to get next to you. Are you aware of who's in your circle? What's in your circle? What their motives are? Do they have an agenda? Why was he able to be taken out the way that he was taken out? I'm talking about protecting black excellence. See, certain conversations create an opposing energy system that does not want certain information to be disseminated or discussed. You see, when our black excellence stands up and begins to lift their voices or lift our voices and begins to produce documentaries that tell us about our truth and about the lie that the dominant society has perpetrated and injected into our minds, then we become a threat. Then there's a target on your back. Oh, I say, but that day is gone, and it is long gone. But I look around and I still see these co-opted Negroes who will sell their mother for the right price. It is the Sambos and Bedwinch sellouts and those of other various monikers who get rewarded for their betrayal. But ours, our heroes, if you will, those who are out there on their grind of excellence, they are gunned down with impunity. Oh, I dare not apologize for how I feel, and you shouldn't either. It's my perspective, and I want to open up another avenue of thought in your mind if it hasn't already been opened up at this point. Because I've gone through my day, brothers and sisters, since hearing about this tragedy, the loss of our brother, and just when I'm focusing on what I need to do for the day, that thought crosses my mind again. And it bothers me all over again. So, what do we do? How do we protect black excellence? I'll tell you one thing, you better keep an eye out for those who are on the agenda of meritorious manumission. You better keep an eye out for those who will sell you out for a few crumbs from Massa. You better start a vetting process and know who you got around you. Now, this has nothing, what I'm saying has nothing to do with what happened to him. I don't know, as I said at the top of the show. I don't know. I'm not getting into all the theories that are out there now. I don't know, but I know how I feel. And I know all too often in time past, you had those who infiltrated our excellent brothers and sisters, especially the brothers, who your likes of Eugene Roberts and H.H. Humes and Percy Green, R.R. Moulton. People like that, who sold out our Marcus Garveys, who sold out our Booker T. Washingtons and Dr. Kings and Malcolm X's, these people sold them out for a check. So when our brothers and sisters are out here on their grind trying to make a better tomorrow for our children, for the next generation, how do we protect the excellence that they portray? How do we protect the excellence that they exude? How do we protect the sacrifices that they make for our, on our behalf? Because those who will stand up in the face of adversity are worried about dying. They're not fearful of death. What are we doing? We got too many armchair prophets, too many armchair activists, too many motherfuckers talking out the side of their neck and don't know what the hell they're talking about, but won't lift a finger to get involved. Excuse my language, but not really. I'm talking about protecting black excellence the way that you would protect your child, the way that you would protect your husband or your wife, the way you would protect those belongings that you spent a couple of dollars on. How do we protect black excellence? Should that not be at the top of our to-do list when we see brothers and sisters out there who are, again, I can't say it enough, trying to make a difference? Should we not have some type of wall, some type of camaraderie, some type of someone we can call on? Someone to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, don't go down there. Hey, who is that over there? Did you check them out? Well, who is she? Who is he? Some of us are too quick to jump on bandwagons. As soon as some little soundbite comes out, we regurgitate that shit. Well, we chew that up and regurgitate it like we're speaking something that we know something about. I don't know. And I'm hoping that I can get someone to call in and share their thoughts, because I'm tired. I'm tired of every time I turn on my TV or social media, a brother or sister, if they haven't been killed, they've been brutalized. Like the sister who was beat up by this beast, just beaten. I don't know. What I do know is it can't go on this way. It can't go on this way. And I want to do something. I am doing something. I'm involved, but I don't know. Right now, I am emotional, and that's okay. When you enter into the realm of self-awareness, the only system you need is self-awareness. Now, why did I say that? Because if you are aware at all, if you are aware of yourself at all, then you will be aware of your brothers. You'll be aware of your sisters. You will be aware that of the need for us to get on code. Get on code against those who hate us simply for because we are melanated individuals, and get on code against those who look like us but have compromised themselves, who have co-opted themselves against us. So we also have to look out for black enemies of black people, because no one can get close to you if you see that they're looking to do you harm. We have come too far in terms of our accomplishments. And I'm talking about the individual because we haven't accomplished a damn thing as a group. So, yeah, I'm talking about, you know, your LeBron Jameses and your Magics and, you know, and all the people that, you know, the dominant society would throw in our face and say, hey, look, see? You guys aren't oppressed. Well, I am of the mindset of the brothers in 1964 Louisiana, who we know now in history as the Deacons for Defense. Brothers who got to their breaking point and said, enough is enough. And they stood up and they used the weaponry they had and the skills from being war vets to fight off the Klan for coming into their neighborhoods and coming into their homes and beating them and misusing them, mistreating them. They got to a point where enough was enough. And they fought back, and they shot back, and they dealt away with fear and stood up in the face of the adversity of the time, 1964, in the South. The Deacons for Defense. And there's a movie on this true history. There's a movie starring Forrest Whitaker and a few other people in the movie. But I am of the mindset that you can't come for me, and if you do, then we will be deacons for defense. What about you? What about those of you who are listening? How do you feel? Have you stopped to ask yourself what you would do when something like this visits your doorstep? Brothers, have you thought about what you would do if one of these race soldiers, it doesn't have to be a white person, anyone for that matter, assaulted your woman? Have you thought about what you would do? Have you thought about what you would do if someone, like some of these teachers in these public schools that you see these videos of, mocking your child, mocking your children, leaving your children at bus stops, setting them up so they can be hurt, hurting them themselves? Have you thought about what you would do? I have. And my conscience wouldn't let me lay down if all I did was go to have a candlelight vigil and pray and hold hands and kumbaya and talk about I forgive you. What are we going to do to protect black excellence, people? Are we going to continue to glorify mediocrity and ignorance? Are we going to continue to allow ourselves, allow our minds to be shaped by the buffoonery that society shows us through media propagation on these television shows where we look ridiculous? The minstrel show must stop. The circus must be shut down. We must get back to the excellence of the ancestors. And we don't have to go back to ancient Egypt to find them. I am a little bothered. And for this to be my premiere, I hope that none of you are looking at me sideways. But if you are, that's okay. because every time you tune in to listen to me, I'm going to give you nothing but the raw, real. I have no false pretenses about me. And what I'm sharing with you now is genuine, is pure. We have to, excuse me, we have to return to our original selves, and our original selves is that of an excellent nature. And I, for one, don't have a problem with standing on the front line, flat-footed without batting an eye, and letting the world know that we're here and we aren't going anywhere. Oh, I'm just a little guy here who doesn't have a big name sitting here in Flint, Michigan, talking to you about how I feel. It's the Samuel's perspective, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't have to be yours, but I hope that you follow me. So we can have discussions about those things that are often swept under the rug. And some of the rugs that we have are lumpy as hell. And we need to start turning over those rocks and have these discussions about what we're going to do, because we are in the midst of a war, and battles are going on all around us. And any day could be the day it shows up on your doorstep. Now, what are you going to do? Or better yet, what are you prepared to do? Are you prepared to tar and feather one of your own for treason? Are you prepared to put your life on the line for the protection of black excellence? I'm going to die one day, as we all are. But no one will say Craig was a coward. You won't be able to say that. I don't know, maybe what I'm saying is not popular, because we get caught up in discussing some of the same stuff that everybody else is discussing. Yeah, I brought up Nipsey Hussle because it made me feel some kind of way. But what I'm saying to you now, I just didn't start talking about this yesterday. I've been speaking this way for years. No one knew me. That's all. You're just hearing me for the first time. I love myself and I love my people, and I'm tired of seeing my brothers and sisters, especially those out there who are going about their business of building their lives and trying to make the lives of others better. I'm tired of seeing them having their throats sliced and being lynched and shot down. You give me a second. I've been talking, and it's almost time for me to take a break, but I'm going to go on a quick break, and when I return, I will resume this conversation. Hopefully, I get some of you to call in and to participate. So I will be going on break, and I will be back shortly. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for holding on. I'm back. I just had to take a short intermission. You are tuned in to the Samuel's Perspective on Enhancement Awareness Radio, where I am discussing protecting Black excellence. As I just got through saying right before the break, is what are we going to do? Are we going to be deacons, become deacons for defense and start protecting our own? Or are we simply going to lay down and allow these people who hate us, and I say these people, and I'm not just talking about those with white faces, I'm talking about the black sellouts as well. Are you going to just allow them to run over us? To continue taking away those who are out here working not only on their own behalf, but on our behalf too, who are laying down the blueprint for us to draw from so that we may take and apply and us too see the manifestation of tangible results? What are we going to do? Or, as I said earlier, are we so anesthetized that we've become comfortable in conflict and controversy? Have we become complacent, trying to tread water while we're surrounded by sharks? Have we become comfortable in the face of evil? Are we afraid to swallow the pill of our truth? Are we afraid to swallow the pill of the truth that's going on around us? And the truth of the matter is, you are a target. We are targets. And it's not going to get better. Getting angry is okay, but what are you going to do with that energy? What are you going to do with it? Are we going to remain psychologically codependent on society to define our reality for us, and then we continue to walk according to that definition? Or are we going to become deacons for defense and start protecting our black excellence? Those of you who are listening, I know you know what I'm talking about. And I know you know what I'm getting ready to say when I say this here. The police lie and kill in the service of lions, liars, and killers. I'll say it again. The police lie and kill in service of liars and killers. But you knew that already, right? Yeah, I'm talking about even protecting yourself against them. Uh-oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Because we have a certain type of people with a certain type of mindset who want to hide behind spirituality and hang out in the cosmos all goddamn day and evade what's going on from a realistic perspective. Did you not know that reality is honest? Did you not know that, and let me say this, I'm a spiritual person too, very much so. Very much so. But I'm honest with what I see. I understand the law of opposites. The law of opposites is necessary for balance. So you have male and female balance. Hot and cold, balance. You mix them together, you get warm, balance. Up and down, you can't stay up all the time, you can't stay down all the time. There has to be a balance. What does it have to do with what I'm talking about? Because many of us, far too many of us, hide behind our, what we think we understand about spirituality. and we want to use love as an instrument to bat everything away, and it just doesn't work like that. You're going to love the people that are killing you? You're going to love the people who despise you? I remember Dr. King saying in one of his messages that he said, yeah, it's not too hard to love an individual. It's liking them that presents the challenge. It's hard to like someone who's beating you up and lynching you and burning down your houses and kicking you about. Now, this is Dr. King, the so-called pacifist. What are we going to do to protect black excellence and have people who come with their opinions, and opinions are fine in the right context, but I say this about that. The lowest form of knowledge is an opinion. Because when it's time to sit at the table of critical thinking, your opinion won't hold up there. You take your opinion over to the table where they're talking about who has the best hamburger. What we need are theorems. And we only can arrive to a theorem with workable theories. Theories that we can put into practice. And hanging out on a corner with teddy bears and shit and talking about I forgive you is not going to get it. Marching and protesting is not going to get it. And I'm not throwing off on anybody. This is just how I feel. It's how I feel, and I've felt this way for some time. I don't get it. There's a time for everything. And when someone is gunning you down, that's not the time to to project some type of spirituality in the direction of the person who's abusing you. You better study the nature of the Zulu. And some of our other African warrior tribes. They were spiritual too. But when it came time to protecting their own, they got busy. There were deacons for defense way back then. So let's not get caught up, and I don't have a problem with, some people think when I say certain things that I'm talking about somebody, that's something else. I'm tired of having to put out disclaimers all the damn time because some of us are so sensitive that you always think somebody's talking about you. Grow the hell up. I'm talking to the people who are on steak. I'm not talking to the people who still are on milk and Gerber food. I'm talking to the people who have teeth, not you individuals who are still coming shit. I understand that I okay, I'm seeing something. I thought that I had a caller, but I guess I don't. I was hoping that I would have a caller tonight because I want some input. I want some input on what you may think, what you think, how you feel about what I'm saying, how you feel about the black state of affairs as it is today. How do you feel about those who call themselves leaders and pastors and these politicians and these people who for years, for decades, have been leading us who have been leading us astray. I've been alerted that I have a caller. We have a caller from 469. Caller, come on in.
Peace, 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 brother. Peace, my brother Craig. How are you?
Peace. How you doing? Is Dwight?
Yes, sir. You better know it.
Well, I'm glad you called in, man, because I as you've probably been listening, I'm talking about protecting Black excellence. What are we going to do? And where do we start? I mean, I have some ideas myself, but hey, I'm just one mind. Where do we start with protecting Black excellence? Because as I said all through the program, up to this point, I'm tired of every time I turn around, there's a brother being taken away from us. A brother out here who is doing constructive work, generational work, leaving a legacy, or trying to leave a legacy for his children. And now he's been snatched away from us like so many others before him have. What do you have to say, not just about Nipsey Hussle, but about protecting Black excellence? When we see one of our own out there trying to make a difference for us, man, what do we do? We have to become a vanguard for these individuals. We have to get involved.
Yes.
What do you say?
Absolutely. Man, I totally agree, my brother, as you, because there's more power in numbers. And a lot of these brothers, they are fighting this fight, and they feel so alone. I listened to a clip, and he was saying that people were telling him to be careful and watch out. And he said, man, if they do something to me, y'all better ride. And I just watched the clip of him getting killed. Some of the video just surfaced. And I was just, before I got on this call, I was scrolling on Instagram, and I scrolled up and I saw it, and it showed him getting shot, showed him with the other, and you could see the shooter, as he was on the ground, the shooter walked back up on him and shot him two or three more times. So it kind of, you know, people are saying that negates the fact that it was, or negates the opinion, the theory, that it was conspiracy. And I automatically began to ask myself, even before this call, brother, why does this always happen? Why is it always us killing us? But it has to be a deeper meaning to it, that there's more to it. And it's not like there's something that I haven't thought about before, or something that hasn't been going on, but this time it just feels different. This time it seems like This has more deeper meaning. It just felt different to me, because as you know, brother, I don't watch TV. I'm totally unplugged. I was aware that he was making this documentary, but it was a lot of things that I was unaware of that he was doing in the community. And I've been watching him for a long time, just been knowing just the video that he has when he was like 22 years old when he first started the rap. And he was talking about how he was educated. And he was talking about how we were lied to and how our Black excellence has been taken from us, how we were once kings and queens and all these other things that he was speaking on at a young age. And one of the dudes that was interviewing was saying, man, you a gangbanger. How you know all this? He said, man, I'm an educator, man. I educated myself, you know. And to me, that was so significant, because we're living in an age of so much information is at your fingertips. There's no reason why you should be left in ignorance anymore. It's only because of the fact that you're not willing to accept the truth for what it is. So if we want to protect Black excellence, first you have to protect with your own Black excellence first. So you have to learn how to protect the very essence of you. You have to deem your life valuable. You have to deem your works to be done. You have to live in purpose. You have to find this purpose as you, for you as an individual. Within doing so, you can respect everybody else's purpose in this life. But the problem is, we got too many of us walking around with no purpose. Too many of us walking around only to receive wealth or money, or we're driven by our lower aspects. We're driven by things that are just keeping us divided within ourselves. So now we're divided as a being from the streets, being from the hood, and knowing that most of these brothers who do choose the streets, that do choose the hustle, that wake up every day and go out and gang, that I used to do. It's a choice that they're making every day. And there's one thing that they always say, God knows my heart. Our people perish from lack of knowledge. And once we get a brother from the streets or from a different place to where knowledge is shunned upon, see, because people got to understand, in your whole diaspora being a nigger and all the things that they preach to you, it's only a low vibration that you stay on. I know because I've been there. I've been that nigger. I've been that nigger jamming and looking at another nigger like, fuck you looking at nigger. Fuck wrong with you. You know what I'm saying? I've been that nigger. I've been that nigger ready for whatever. I've been that nigger. That's how I know what I'm talking about. So in order for you to remove or begin to understand what black excellence means, you got to understand how excellent you are. A lot of us don't even know what we mean. A lot of us don't even know that we have purpose in this life. So we're just living. We're just existing, not living. So, man, we got to stop existing, brother, if we want to preserve black excellence. And the only thing that I know to do is become the change that I seek to see. So instead of me, I'm always offering solutions, which is what you're doing. This is what we do. So the best thing I can say that we can do, my brother, is come together and show our unity and hope that someone will get with us and band with us. And even if they don't, we remain together. We remain solid. We remain loving and compassionate for one another. We remain uplifting and being there, remaining our brother's keepers. So, man, it's so much that has to be done. It has to be done, and it is time that we do it.
Absolutely. I agree. And I appreciate you calling in, man. But you and I, we will talk at a later date more about this subject. But I appreciate you calling in.
That's a brother.
Caller from 404. Do I? Caller from 404. Doing live. Samuel's Perspectives.
Greetings, family. Greetings. This is Sister LJ, a.k.a. to many as Dearest Asset Sheikh Matt, also known as Speaky Lola Abu Famous. Powerful show. It needs to be talked about. I have a question to pose to the collective. Why is it that it takes for us to transition before we publicly announce and support that we are actively doing something? This bothers me because people are working, be it micro, on a micro level or on a mass level, of working within the community to drop the seed to allow us to want to know more and do better and be better as a people collectively. It's not our place to change minds. It's our place to drop seeds. So in the atmosphere, we can change the atmosphere so that people can then think, not necessarily exactly like us, but just begin to think. There is no reason that people have eyes to see and ears to hear, and we're not talking about things that matter. It is a problem with our judicial system. It is a problem with our children being suicidal at early ages. It is a problem for us running around here dealing and dabbling with just surface shit. When are we going to hold ourselves as individuals accountable for the lack that we're not talking about in the regards to those who are doing something? Because that's where it's
well, Sister, that's the $64,000 question. When? We know we need to. The question is when. And that's not to say that there aren't people out here doing that, but we're doing it in pockets.
Right.
And as the brother on the prior call said, you know, we need to be able to come together. So. And, of course, it's not going to be everybody. That's not realistic. But we need those who feel like us on this call. We need those who are grown tired, and not just the young, but the elderly as well. That's why I changed the title of the message at the beginning of the program to Protecting Black Excellence. I would venture to say when we we will become more liberated. Tell me what you think. When the likes of Dr. Clark and Dr. Ben and Sharshi McIntyre and Dr. Leonard Jeffries are more credible to us than Yale, Harvard, and other Western universities and institutions of so-called higher learning. When we start looking at those who have laid the blueprint for us, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. The people that I named, they were contemporaries of one another, and there was not a pissing contest because they understood that they were all there to do the same thing. We need to have conversation and not competition. Too many of us are in competition with one another. And that allows us to continue to be weakened or grow stronger in our weaknesses. And then the dominant society laughs at that because he sees that these people, no matter what, can't come together to save their own lives, so we will continue to divide them and conquer them. And what do? Complain.
We follow suit. And follow suit.
We complain. Right. So I think it all starts with setting our differences aside, because these people will agree on a lie if it's going to benefit the overall agenda. They will agree on a lie to get their agenda passed or their initiative passed, whatever that looks like for them, because they're not playing with morality. There is no ethics. That doesn't exist. And we're going to have to learn how to set, you know, you can't approach a felonious mindset with a misdemeanor attitude. These people are playing with felonious mindsets. And here we are operating on with a misdemeanor disposition. And I'm not talking about just getting physical. I'm talking about, but if it comes to that, yes, because what are you going to do to protect your loved ones? What are you going to do to protect the next Nipsey Hussle who comes out here and he's building? I've seen several youngsters who have made it into our institutions of higher learning, and several who are entrepreneurs who have put their inventions out there, and they are 10, 11, and 12. You know what they're doing to our babies already. What are we going to do to protect those children, that generation, who
first
can change the lives for all of
them.
Us?
We have to live by example. No more of the stories and folklore. But now we have to literally start walking in our power. And I'm not saying to do so and be, you know, disrespectful or irate. But what I'm saying, because, see, a lot of people are talking about go to war, and their minds are not ready for what war brings.
True.
See, the people were affected that stood out there and watched Nipsey get hit with them bullets. People are affected. Mm-hmm. See, I'm a OG Roller 60 Crip. I've been in the streets. I know what it looks like to see brain matter splattered across the plate, the walls, and look like scrambled eggs and ketchup with gray matter. I know what that looks like. See, we're not ready for war as a collective. But what we are needing to do is get ready. A lot of us are sick. And the only way that we're going to be able to come together is to acknowledge the areas in our body that need healing so that we can become war ready, mentally, physically, economically, emotionally. Because, see, you send wild folks out in this wolf pack of we're going to be vindicated, and none of us own the army equipment that we'll need to have to retaliate once we push that level of retaliation. You know, we don't have helicopters. We don't have, you know, a bunch of us don't have AK-47s. A bunch of us don't have riot gear to go out, and I understand the frustration of our people. I truly do. So if we're going to start doing something, let's start teaching our children it within the home. Let's start getting together. Stop talking about just going to the park. But if you want Facebook or Instagram or any of these social medias, post where you're going to be. so that other people that see you and follow you that are local with you can come out and commune with you. And in that communion, allow the children and the elders to see that we can come together and it not turn out to be something negative, but a positive formation of building as a collective. I don't need to only know you by Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. I need to know you personally, because when you're in a person's presence, you're able to see them for who they are, even with their mask on. And that's okay, because at least they're thinking. And as they think, so they are. And if we continue to come together, we continue to make it personal, we continue to be in intimate settings with one another, where we're being vulnerable with our children and we're being vulnerable with our husbands and wives or our mates, that this is the space and place in which we can grow. But if we're not willing to come out and deal with one another, how are we going to deal with the masses? We've got
absolutely
to come from behind the doors.
Absolutely. I agree. With that being said, we have to counterattack this counterfeit behavior that we're operating in. And that's pretty much the short version, the Reader's Digest version of what you just said. I agree. There has to be all hands on deck. And only those who are tired, like I am, like you are, like we are, of seeing our brothers and sisters slaughtered for little to nothing. You know, and then we're left to make funeral arrangements. We're left with tears and broken hearts. We're left to deal with our emotions. It has to stop somewhere, and I believe it starts when it starts with us. Based on what you just said.
Right, coming together. Go meet your neighbor. You know, go meet your neighbor. Because if you can develop relationship in the community, you can develop community amongst the masses. Because it won't just be you, but it'll be a community that is on the same page as you, approaching other communities that are on the same page with you. Coming together is not just a slogan, family. We must physically, mentally, and spiritually unite. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thank you for calling in, sister. Thank you for calling in. Third caller from 612. You're on live with the Samuels Perspective.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I am well. How are you?
Doing well, sir. Thank you for taking my call. If I could just add, I think, and this is a question I could pose to you, which is, what is actually reality? Like, what's the true worldview that would encapsulate what the real life, like, what is reality in itself? And what I mean by that is, take, for example, does God exist or does God not exist, first and foremost?
I get that question. I guess God exists. That's relative to the believer, because you know, and that's a whole other conversation there. Because you're going to have, you know, sections who are going to have different perspectives on who or what God is, and as it relates to reality, reality is that thing that faces you or presents itself to you every morning you wake up and walk out your front door. That's your reality. And whatever your interpretation of that reality is based on your experience throughout your day-to-day and how you deal with it.
Right, but you would agree that irregardless of what I believe, what you believe, what anyone believes, there is a certain reality that exists, and the onus is on you and I as individuals to come to terms with what reality is and adjust accordingly to it, right? Reality isn't malleable. It doesn't change according to my personal belief. Would you agree?
Again, it's relative, because your reality may be different from my reality. So then we can't isolate reality and apply that to everyone. Now, what you just said, I can't disagree with that, because that's how you think. Whatever your experiences are brought you to that conclusion based on what reality is for you. So
well,
then
I mean,
we kind of
get
into,
like this, for example. the laws of nature, right? The laws of physics, the laws we see operating within environments, the laws we see that operate within living organisms, the systems that are in operation. Everything, if you look in our world, there's structure, there's order, and there's a certain things that are in place that are there regardless of whether we knew it or not. Like, there was a time when human beings didn't know gravity existed, and then they came to realize that it existed. And because they realized it existed, did that mean that gravity all of a sudden existed, or was gravity always in existence from the beginning?
Well, let me ask you this. What does your question, I mean, where are you going? You know, I mean, because it's more scientific than you're talking about the reality of science.
Yeah, I'm talking about the reason that the God question is a major question, is the reason it's important is because in our current culture today, America used to be a country at one point that believed in sort of had at least somewhat of a perspective of there being a God and morality coming from God, and now we're more of a secular, progressive, secular humanist culture for the most part. We've shifted to that. And the problem what you have in that is if there is no God, then there is actually no such thing as morality or ethics. It becomes relative. It becomes subjective to an individual or a culture. And so if morality ends up being relative and there is no such thing as a God that would hold people accountable for what they've done, ultimately then that means everything is ultimately meaningless, and then there's no really real incentive for good or bad. You can live either way you want. And when you take God out of the equation and you approach young people who see if there's no so-called consequence for bad actions, then what's to stop them from just continue to indulge in their carnal pleasures? And this idea that you're going to tell people without God and no morality to just act right just for the sake of it, I don't think is realistic, because we see this in our children. Like, I don't know if you're a father or not, but if you have young boys, you see how young boys need to have a father who plays as a disciplinarian, who is willing to enforce right and wrong, and when they do things that are wrong, to correct them. And if you don't have that,
let me stop you right there, because you're getting into the whole God. This is not a show about God, and this is the wrong show. But I will be doing a show on religion, so I want you to stay tuned. When I do a show on religion, please you call back in with those questions, and then we can have this dialogue. But right now we're talking about protecting Black excellence. I appreciate your call. I hope you'll call again soon. Okay. I expected that, and it's fine.
I know I started to jump in. I really did. You know, I'm over here like, but I know this wasn't the platform for it. I know that's the conversation you're trying to have, but he was trying to take you somewhere. He was trying to get to the essence of something else, and he was trying to justify behaviors and trying to take God out of the equation, because what he has to understand is it's only been given to us. But, yeah, that's a whole other issue for a whole other show.
I wanted to see where he was trying to go, but he wasn't making any sense. And so that's why I let him go as long as I did. But that's okay. I mean, that's going to happen. I've listened to enough radio programs, and you got those who will call in, you know, with something that does not pertain to the subject matter. But as we continue to go on, well, since you're still here, Dwight, let's pick this thing up from the solution, and we'll go ahead and close out in this particular segment with the solutions are, because the sister who called the last caller, I like what she said. She's pretty much in the same vein of where I am in terms of getting to know one another, because you can't build anything with strangers. You're going to have to know who you're dealing with. You're going to have to know who's on your side. You're going to have to be able to have that camaraderie and that loyalty, even outside of your presence, to know that betrayal doesn't have a place here. So that starts, again, with a conversation. It starts with a meet and greet. I've done that throughout my time here in my hometown of Flint, Michigan. I've had meet and greets, and only to be disappointed because some of us have a really short attention span. We can only do something for a day or two, or maybe a week or two at best, before it fizzles out and they go back to doing what they were doing. You know what I'm saying? So I think the main thing is doing what we're doing now, having a conversation, that conversation needs to be moved to rolling up your sleeves. Talking is done. It's like Dr. King, when they had their meetings, when those meetings were done, when they were through strategizing, they implemented the strategies. So I'm not talking about just having these great conversations where we can bounce our intellect off of one another. I'm talking about when it's said and done, when the conversation is over, where are our boots? Our picks and shovels, because it's work. It's time for work to be put in. It's time for work to be put in Dallas, in Flint, Michigan, in Detroit, and all over. And I'm not, you know, and that's not to say that those who are already doing it's not a knock against them. If they're all, you know, you're already doing it, and I know some who are, but it's not enough of us. So what do you say, brother? What is another method or solution that you can bring to the table, man, that will help us for now, tomorrow, and the generations to come?
Man, I'm gonna be straight up honest with you, brother. I am currently doing the work myself within my own community, and I would encourage every brother, start where you are. Start where you at. Figure out what your community needs from you. Figure out how you can serve your community first. Never forget where you came from. When we're talking about building structure, you have to build it where you are. So you got to go back to your hood. Stop trying to leave your hood. Stop trying to get away. Stop trying to get some money and go live with the so-called white people. You know what I'm saying? Stop trying to get this money and go live rich. Stop living a lie. Go back and show the people how you made it. Go back and share your experiences. Go back and allow the kids to see somebody that came from where they came from that's made it. Allow them to see somebody that has the education. Allow them to see somebody that they can learn from, that they can look up to besides having to look on TV. So what I would advise people is something that I'm doing and how you would start with infrastructure. You start with the education system. This is where the start has to begin. You have to start with education. Get involved in your education system. Get involved with the local politicians. The local elections are where it's at. Get involved in local businesses. And I've been seeing a lot of people saying that they have a lot of ideas, but they don't have the money. Take away the concept of you needing money. Take away the concept of you thinking that you don't have the money to complete your dreams. Allow your dream to manifest through you with your works. That's how this works. When you're doing the work of spirit, when you're moving in purpose, God will make a way for you. And I got to say this for that caller that was asking about God. When you die, the concept of right and wrong still exists. So you tell me about what you think exists when you die. Do you think God is real? And to come back to what my brother said, if you believe that God is real, and if you know that there's purpose on your life, God will reveal it to you. So, yes, we are dealing with a construct of this reality that has many dimensions to it. So, yes, we are dealing with demonic entities. We do deal with soulless individuals. We do deal with people who don't give a damn. We do deal with people who have no morality. This is a part of this reality. So in order for you to cause or change your reality, you must take control of your essence. The essence of who you are goes back deeper than you can even imagine. Do the research on you. Do the research on those that came before you. Realize that you are your ancestors. Realize that they are walking with you. It's so much power. I'ma just say, start where you at. I could talk 3 hours on what to do. Start where you are.
And so can I. I can do the same thing. That's why I wanted, you know, callers to call in and give other, you know, ideas and solutions. Because here in my own city, you know, let me just say it like this. Especially when it comes to the God thing, because I talk to the youth regularly and many adults regularly. Organizing principles are key to getting masses of people on the same page. And tangibles are the means by which you turbocharge your principle, whatever they may be. Now, with that being said, a lot of the youngsters out here are not interested in the God game. They're not interested in the God matrix. Many of them have had bad experiences either with the church or with their parents where God is concerned. They're not trying to hear that. And you have to meet them where, and I don't know about where you are, I'm talking about here. And you have to meet them where they are. They want something they can see, something they can touch, something they can feel. They want an animated object. That's what they want. And you can't deprive them of that if you're talking about trying to meet them where they are. Because what will happen is if you don't make sense and if you don't manifest something that keeps their attention, they'll go right back to doing what they were doing. That's what will happen, and I've seen it.
You're right. So I've seen it.
The God situation, that is for who it's for. Because not everybody is buying that. And this has been my experiences through my study, not just studies in opening books, but studies now out here in observation. Being out here, because the society is my laboratory, should be all of our laboratory, where we conduct these experiences by way of open and honest communication, and then being open to feedback from those that you're talking to. Too many of us want to project what we think, how we feel, and what we think others should think and how they should feel on them. And you can't do that because now you strip them of their identity and they're walking around another version of you, because that's what you want to see. I'll say it like this. You can't make another version of yourself, and especially when you're not the totality of who you are to begin with. Mm. So it all falls right back under the question of protecting Black excellence. How many youngsters do you know, brother? Because I know you work with the children. How many of those youngsters you see, man, are talented beyond belief? That's their excellence being portrayed, and you have to cultivate that. You have to work with them according to their bent and raise them according to what their interests are, because if you don't take an interest in their interests, they will lose interest.
Every time.
And at the same time, as a mentor, I don't just mentor the children, I mentor the parents as well. And when I say that is, I challenge the parents to get involved. Do you know that your little Johnny is gifted? Do you know your little Susie is gifted? And if you don't know, why not? How can you protect the excellence that exudes from their pores if you don't know that they are gifted beyond belief? Are you too preoccupied, like I said at the top of this program, with things of an insignificant nature to pay attention to that which will be taking care of you next generation? Should you pour into them the excellence or the recipes that produces the excellence that they need? What are we doing? It's like, again, we're going back to what the sister's saying. And you're on point as well, man. I'm just really passionate about this because, and I'm tired. I can't say this enough. I'm tired.
I feel it, brother. And I got to say this real quick because I feel it. I know you are passionate, my brother, and you should be as well as I am. And I have to go back to what you said just a while ago about us not getting to the God concept because that's not what they want to hear. And that's absolutely right. These kids don't want to hear nothing about God. They've been lied to about God for so long. So that is the disconnect,
right.
Truly. They don't know God. They don't know him. And only because they've been given an idea, a concept of what God truly is. So this is something that I also do with the kinder. I do this with third and first and second graders. I allow them to realize what voice is talking to them. See, they're so disconnected from the voices within them, they have no choice but to be disconnected from society. This is why they don't understand what a voice of reason even means, because all they've been told to do is sit down and shut up. This is why I said we must start with the education system, like this is what you're talking about. We have to take back, we have to remind the youth of who they are, because this is where it started for us. See, we got to get back to where our disconnect began. Where did we begin to lose the very essence of who we are? Where did we begin to lose our Black excellence? It was through education. It was through all those times when we were a kid, when we were a child, when our emotions were being suppressed, when our imagination was being harnessed, when our competitive nature was being put on a football field or a basketball court. See, so that's what I'm talking about. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you.
Oh, yeah. Look, we're on the same page, man. What's happening here is something called diurnal logic. It's the union of opposites.
Yes, sir.
It's a way of thinking. It's a way of thinking where you pull things together into a union. It may sound like to the listener that we are saying that we're contradicting one another, but no, we're not. I understand what's happening here. It's diunital logic. You know what I'm saying? You can, and some of us don't understand that because we are hung up in the false narratives, especially when it comes to dealing with semantics. We don't know how to communicate. The art of communication has long gone from us, and more importantly, the art of listening is long gone from us. So then we don't listen anymore. We wait to speak. We don't consider what the other person is saying long enough so you can make an appropriate rebuttal or appropriate response. So this right here, this conversation, this broadcast, I didn't plan on talking this long, but, you know, things don't always work out how you plan. But this is a good thing. And I hope this gets shared 1,000 times, 2,000 times, 3,000 times, because I want more people to start calling in so we can have these conversations. And then when we hang up and go back to our lives, a thought has been sparked in the mind of the listener to go ahead and get involved in something or start something. Not just for now, but for the next. Not just for now, but for the next generation. I am a father and a grandfather, and I want so badly for my grandsons not to have to deal with a lot of the shit that I have to deal with. And that starts with leaving something behind for them like our racial counterparts do. And this is why they start so far ahead. This is what keeps us at a disadvantage. This is also what keeps us from being able to protect our black excellence. Now, it always doesn't always take money, but if they're going to ever get into something that we can operate, it's what I said about the VPE, a viable proactive entity. So when I die here, I want to have a couple of $100,000 left behind for them to take, and if not more, I'm just throwing a number out there, so that they have a fair fighting chance. Crooked-ass, cool-ass world. Because nobody gives a damn. And if we don't start giving a damn about each other, it's like Dr. Clark said, we'll go out of business as a people. Imagine that. Imagine that. I'll let you have the last word, brother, before I hang up and close out the show.
Man, my brother, I want to thank you. My gratitude to you for your compassion for this subject, and for humanity, for us as a people, and what it means to us, and how we've been oppressed and suppressed our whole life. So a lot of you are comfortable within this aspect of living. You're comfortable within this aspect of knowing, of believing. You have no idea what it means to be excellent. You've been living a life of mediocrity because you've been taught to do so. And you've been made comfortable within this place in your life to the point to where when you see something excellent, you deem it to something that you have to reach for. You deem it to something that you have to strive for, not even realizing that you already are this. You already have been born excellent. There is already things within you that you have no idea that you have yet to explore. In order for you to recognize these things, you must simply walk in your truth. Allow yourself to move in purpose in this life. Find your purpose. Find your purpose. Give your pain a voice. Understand that there's many that fought before you, and there's many that will come after you. So who are you fighting for? That's all I got to say.
Okay. I have the caller from, I think it was 404. Who wants to come back in? So, Dwight, we will pick it up at a later date, man, to continue this dialogue. But call her from 404. Come back in.
Yes, I'm back. Greetings, Brother Dwight, as well. I just wanted to share, and I put some things under Brother Keithon's post that tagged me in the regards to this show being on. We as a people need to really look at our individual abilities and find synchronicity in that. Because I think that's a lot of what has us afraid to deal with one another. You hear a lot of people talking about building and developing it, group economics and us coming together. And people are leery of that because there's been so many frauds. But when you're dealing with your people and you're able to be intimate with these people, to know these people on a first-name basis, to feel their energies and entities, you know what I'm saying, as a whole, it gives a different diameter on you being willing to support. Making a bug-out bag doesn't cost that much money. A jar of peanut butter, some sisters with some extra food stamps, we can meet up at the park and bring just peanut butter. You know what I'm saying? Just bring some gelatins or some preserves, you know, that we've canned ourselves. You know, it's all about coming together, being unique, understanding what's going on and how it's going on and why it's going on. It doesn't take a lot. Family Dollar, the dollar store, we have crackers all day long. We can come together and create these places and spaces, but we're not going to be able to do anything on a massive level if we have not developed the cell body of our intimate community. Bug out bags aren't hard to create. Charcoal masks aren't hard to create. Harvesting alkaline water. Sisters could get together and teach the children what key lines look like and how to cut them up and put them in water and let them sit for 24 hours and become alkaline water in which we can harvest and keep in somewhere that we consider safe spaces and places amongst the community. No, I may not be able to make it back home to my house. My neighborhood might be messed up, but you live 30 minutes from me. So if I can make it to your neighborhood, I now know where the water is in your neighborhood as well because we meet together. I know where to find the peanut butter and jelly in the park because we meet together. We do what we want to do when we want to do it. All I'm asking our people that are going to hear this broadcast is let's not start doing it when it's too late because you have a NIFTY in your house. You have a Dr. Sadie in your house. You have all of these people, these souls, these energies. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to end on a positive note. For those of us that are aware of who we are, I am honored that our brother's contract in this lifetime is over because now he's free from the prison of the body. Now he can come and collectively be summoned to us to get the information and the downloads, to keep that NIFTY energy flowing, growing, and going. A lot of us have to look at the big picture, and I get it, we're humans and we have human experiences. We're going to feel some type of way when people we know and love transition. But I want to encourage you that he's no longer limited to the physical body. Dr. Sadie's no longer limited to the physical body. They don't need planes, trains, and automobiles to be connected. Reach out. Use your power to connect with the elite that have gone on. Call their names. They'll come, I promise you, because they're watching the fight still go on. You think that these mighty men and women of standards are just gone on and they sleep in peace and resting in peace? Ain't no peace when your children are still in bondage. Ain't no peace when your loved ones are still under attack. They're waiting for you to call them. They have now become your ancestors. What will you do with the power you have? And what would you do with the power that you now know is free? That's the question. Tap in. Become the power.
Sister, I don't have anything else to add to that, and I'll leave it there. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Samuel's Perspective. I appreciate all of you who called in. I appreciate Dwight Jolly for coming in and having and always sharing potent information and insight. Thank you. I can't wait to next Monday so we can pick up where we left off to continue conversations of this magnitude, because it is more than necessary. And I will end with this. All conception is immaculate. Dirty seeds don't grow. Good night.